Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the scariest thing you can imagine, Scarycast. This is Dr. John with Jake. Jake, how are you doing tonight? Are you there, Jake? I see Jake, but he's not, but he must be muted. Anyway, it's great to be here tonight. We've got a wonderful show. We've got Rex Casey, who is an expert and knows all about ASMR, and we have part two of Timmy Payne's interview. Timmy is a wonderful horror punk musician, and I've got a great announcement to make, because on April the 28th in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the Ramada Inn, we'll get this on the website sooner than later, but Scarycast will be sponsoring the first Triangle Horror Con at the Ramada Inn. It's going to be a blast. April 28th, so we're going to have a good time. I have confirmed Lady Bridget, who is my favorite head witch on the East Coast. She is the hostess of Ask a Witch on International Pagan Radio, which has been going on for almost 5 years now. And she is a very well-known person. She's in the pagan community. We are thrilled to have her and Tom Gore, a really wonderful film producer who's from North Carolina, and he will be one of our special guests too. More guests being announced as we get them, so just know that Scarycast is sponsoring the first annual Triangle Horror Fest, and it'll be a lot of fun in Raleigh, North Carolina at the Ramada Inn on April the 28th. So there we go. Now we turn to our guest. We are so fortunate to have two wonderful guests tonight. First of all, I want to introduce Rex Casey. Rex, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm still trying to get used to being called by my legal last name, Casey. I'm so used to being called Rex Sterling for, gosh, 12 years. Like, sometimes when I hear my real name called out, it catches me off guard.
That's right, because Rex Sterling was a star, and still is a professional wrestling star. You were with Ring of Honor for a number of years, and we're so glad to have you here. So first of all, thanks, buddy. I'm glad you're here. Good friend. I'm so glad that we've got to have you here on Scarycast. The reason we got you here is because there's a new thing coming out. It's called the ASMR Workbook, and I'll go ahead and admit I am part and parcel of that deal. I helped write it along with you. ASMR is an incredible thing. So as we get started tonight, my first question to you is, up there in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, had to tell who you are. Tell us about ASMR. What does it mean? What is it? And how does it help people? You have the floor, sir.
Well, thank you. It's an honor. ASMR is still growing, and it's growing quite fast in popularity, but this is the question that I get asked the most, is what is ASMR? And I will go ahead and get the initials out of the way. It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And I'm going to tell you, even being somebody who is deeply passionate about ASMR, when you hear those four words back to back to back to back, it's just like, what? Like, what does that even mean? So when I explain it to people, it actually means something very simple. It's a reference to a physical sensation that people describe as often a tingling sensation. It's on the skin, and it typically begins in the scalp area, and it moves down the back of the neck, down your spine, and through your body, and it is typically triggered by a visual or auditory sensation, sometimes through touch or massage or some kind of personal attention. It could be something as vague as somebody whispering in your ear or lightly touching your arm. But for people that experience ASMR, it tends to create this very euphoric, relaxed feeling, a very peaceful feeling. And in today's time, as stressful as it is in 2017 for many of us, I think that people are just incredibly attracted to anything that will help ease their mind, help them to relax. I mean, you know that yoga and meditation is incredibly popular right now and still growing in popularity. And ASMR is kind of like an offshoot branch of that. It's a way for people to help get into a state of deep relaxation, whether it's you're going through a traumatic experience in your life or a really, really rough time in your life personally, or it could be something as simple as after a hard day's work. And typically most people access ASMR via videos on the internet. It's incredibly popular on YouTube right now. It's growing very rapidly. There's a lot of great content creators out there that are putting out ASMR videos where they simply spend the entire video creating what people refer to as triggers. So auditory or visual triggers that will trigger ASMR in the viewer. And it's growing, and I became attracted to it. I discovered it in the past year and a half, but what drew me to it was I was actually diagnosed with panic disorder in 2011. And, I was 25 at the time, a very stressful period of my life. I had never had panic attacks before. Anybody that does have panic disorder can tell you that it can come on at any point in your life. It can be brought on by immense stress, the loss of a loved one or a bad financial situation. And I started experiencing panic attacks, and they continued. It became a chronic thing, and I just wanted relief. And I think right now people are trying to avoid, to the best of their ability, avoid the pharmaceutical solutions to that. I'm sure
they
most
are.
People are aware.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of people that know about the abuse of Xanax and Valium, and these are drugs that people are typically using just to relax and stay calm and keep from, becoming panicked and experiencing severe anxiety. Well, ASMR is just a very, very natural alternative to that. And when I discovered it, I wanted to share that with everybody because I don't know anybody that couldn't use something like that in their life.
Wow, that's an important thing to be able to do, is to help people get relief from stress and any of these things. I mean, because we all have them, and it's like the idea of. And I got just kind of a great little thing I want to say. It's like whenever someone whispers in your ear, and you get that tingle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what ASMR is all about.
Right, exactly.
So
most people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. A bit of a delay. So is that basically you're manually releasing dopamine through your system, or that's kind of what it sounds like to me almost. Like you're forcing yourself to put yourself in a euphoric state.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's only recently, I think the first like real scientific article that came out on ASMR, at least in the modern age, referencing ASMR specifically, was I think in 2015. So it's still being studied, and there's not a lot of scientific confirmation on the exact chemicals that are released. But the most common theory is based right on that, is that it triggers a chemical release in the brain of dopamine and similar chemicals that just relax the body, similar to how, some people use pre-workout to kind of get that pump before they go to the gym. This is kind of like the opposite of that. This is something that helps bring you down and helps you relax if you find yourself in a panic state or feeling very tight, a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety.
There was a I guess I could say this. Breathing techniques that were taught for to keep yourself calm while in a combat situation, while firing, to try and take away that fog of war, that the adrenaline, to try and counteract the adrenaline that's automatically released in high stress situations. just breathing techniques and mindset that kind of we use to calm ourselves down and kind of stay focused.
Right. Right. And I would equate that as, like a branch. Like, one thing about ASMR is that it branches into a lot of different things, from meditation to the breathing practices that you're talking about. I think that the primary difference with ASMR and what you're talking about is you're at the same time, both techniques, you're trying to achieve your center. You're trying to alleviate stress and calm yourself. But with ASMR, it's like when people say they're zoning out. Like if you've ever seen somebody doing something as simple as tapping on something or rolling a pencil, or if you've seen somebody doing somebody's hair or just anything like that and just kind of started to zone out on watching somebody do something, with ASMR you tend to kind of, instead of like maintaining and sharpening your focus, you begin to focus at first, but as you begin to experience ASMR, you kind of drift off. In fact, that's one reason why a lot of people use ASMR as a sleep aid instead of something like Ambien. A lot of people that I know in the ASMR community and a lot of people in the content creators themselves create videos just to help people relax so that they can fall asleep, people that struggle with that.
I would love at some point to talk to you one-on-one in private about that, because I know with issues that I have, sleeping is a very difficult thing for me, and anything to get me to go to sleep that's not chemically induced is obviously a plus. So that sounds like something, especially for, what I'm talking about is people in the PTSD community.
Yes.
Those of us that stay awake for hours and hours and hours and can't sleep, and it seemed like that might be a good technique to kind of push out to the vet community.
Exactly, and I mean, that's why I'm really trying to get it out there to as many people as possible, because whether it's just daily stress or panic disorder or, mental illness or PTSD, I think that ASMR can help people in various types of situations and varying degrees of seriousness of those situations. And I know that personally, that's how I discovered ASMR, was because I was in the same position as you're talking about when it comes to falling asleep. Once I started having panic attacks, and once I developed, I had always in my life experienced anxiety to a degree. I was prone to anxiety from an early age. I experienced social anxiety, like walking around in public places and stuff like that. I always felt uncomfortable in large groups when I was younger. But I didn't know the implications of being prone to anxiety and how that can escalate as your stress in life escalates. And eventually, once I started having panic attacks, I had trouble sleeping. And so how I discovered ASMR was, and this is actually mentioned in the book where I wrote a chapter for the book that was just a testimonial on my experience with ASMR. I discovered it because I noticed that what calmed me a lot was rain. Being in my home, if there was a thunderstorm or rain on the awning, tapping on the awning, it just really relaxed me. Or if you've ever been camping and there's been rain on the tent, like just rain in general would relax me. And it would help, the audio would kind of help keep me from thinking about unpleasant thoughts, unpleasant situations I had been in or was in at the time. And so I would pick random videos on YouTube, rain videos to listen to help me fall asleep. And one night I picked a ASMR video, not realizing it, that featured rain. And it started playing, and I heard the rain, and I'm laying there, and I'm trying to fall asleep. And that video featured somebody almost inaudibly, just barely lightly whispering into a microphone as the rain was going. And at first it was super awkward to me when I realized it, but I was very comfortable, so I didn't want to change it. So I laid there, and the more I listened to it, the more I just found it more and more relaxing, and I drifted off. And I started using that video for several days in a row to help me fall asleep. And that video had the initials ASMR in the title, but I ignored it because I didn't know what ASMR was at the time. But, YouTube will suggest similar videos to you when you watch one a lot. So YouTube started suggesting more ASMR videos to me, and there's all types of ASMR. There's videos like that Rain video. There's videos with no talking. There's videos that are role play, fantasy, you know, unboxings, all sorts of different videos. And they seemed all unrelated to me, to the Rain. So I started looking into ASMR and how these videos were related. And once I discovered ASMR, I couldn't go back. I mean, to me, it was just so much better than just Rain or something like that. And it's really been a godsend when it comes to getting to sleep for me still to this day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's great, Rex. And I think, and this is Dr. John here, I think that's why when I found ASMR, I found it through you a little while back, and then you and I put together this ASMR workbook, which is going to be, it'll be available on Amazon.com, Amazon
That's right.
Prime, actually, in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first ASMR workbook, and it gives you some instructions on, you know, how to approach this, some exercises
right.
that you can keep track of what you're doing. And, you know, again, as I listen to you and as I listen to Jake, we all need a way, because in the high-tech world that we live in, we've got to have some way to relax and basically chill out, because our bodies, you know, if you think about 1800, we didn't have beeps every so often. We didn't have people dinging us on Facebook Messenger. We didn't have phone calls.
Right.
We didn't have all this. And
right.
in our real world of today, we along with all these artificial interruptions that we have to have a way to back off from this. And ASMR
exactly.
It's a wonderful way to do this. And I think the ASMR workbook, which people will be able to find here shortly on Amazon, is going to help people understand what ASMR is and how can you use it. I mean, so and you told us a really great story about how you use it to go to sleep, because you have had some panic disorders and whatever. And Jake, I'm really glad that you focused on the PTSD stuff, because there's actually a chapter
mm-hmm.
about PTSD in the ASMR workbook. We've all
mm-hmm.
got, we all need to relax, and the ability to get that tingling sensation and relax and go to sleep or just relax is a very, very important thing. I mean, so I tell you what, Rex, tell us a little bit about, other than the Rain, what are some of the other sounds that have worked for you? And you're an ASM artist. That's a new phrase, and that means you're putting together some videos with some certain sounds. Those will be out soon, correct?
Yes, I've already got the equipment. I'm just now preparing to start creating my own content. I'm already also providing articles to a new website, ASMArtistWeekly.com, regarding triggers, because I think right now, and that's what the ASMR workbook is really for, it's for introducing people to ASMR, because even though it's growing in popularity, there's still so many people, and it's crazy because there's so many people that have experienced ASMR, but they didn't know what it was when they were feeling it, you know? Like, one common thing that a lot of people can relate to is if you've ever been having a haircut and you kind of start to drift off to sleep, like, almost forcefully, it just relaxes you. A lot of people have experienced that. That's another one. A lot of people have experienced ASMR throughout their life, but they didn't know what they were experiencing, and they didn't know that it's something that you can trigger and access, you know, as needed. And also, you know, one of the things that I want to throw out there before I get back to the ASMR workbook, and I'm not trying to give medical advice. I do try to avoid that, but I will say, you know, having panic disorder, I have to take medication to control that. And a lot of people, like with PTSD, have to take medications to control symptoms, unwanted anxiety and things like that. And anybody who's taken any medication for anxiety, any medication to calm you down, knows that those medications, they're very tricky, because they're some of the most addictive medications that are out there, specifically benzodiazepines like Valium, Klonopin, things like that. when you realize that you can achieve that calming effect naturally through ASMR, it really can help people. And I say this from personal experience, to use pharmaceutical drugs less. And I know people that do use pharmaceutical drugs to remain calm and to control panic and things like that. Their own use of those drugs tends to worry them as well, because you don't want to get physically addicted to those substances. They're very addictive. And so I urge people to look at ASMR and other natural ways of calming down and being able to relax your mind and your body. And the ASMR workbook. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead. I'll wait till you're done.
I was just going to say, I think that, first of all, the ASMR workbook is definitely the first of what's going to be more books regarding ASMR, definitely on my part, and I'm sure, Dr. John, you'll be a part of that as well. But I feel like this was a great first book for me. This is my first book that I've ever put out or contributed to, and I felt like this was the perfect thing to put out first, because most people need an introduction to ASMR. They need to know how it works, what it is, what the benefits of it are, and that's what I try to stress, and that's what we stressed in the book. And when it comes to triggers, the most common triggers for ASMR tend to be the sound of brushing, lightly brushing, whispering or soft-spoken speech, personal attention, even if you're not receiving it directly. So watching somebody get their hair brushed, watching somebody get a back massage, tapping, which I think that's why I was so attracted to Rain, was that tapping noise from the Rain. But tapping is another big one as well. But there are a lot of ASMR triggers. And one thing that you have to do is, if you are interested in ASMR and you do want some of the benefits of it, I encourage people to experiment with different triggers, because you will find that certain triggers bring it out more in you, of that physical sensation and that relaxation, and some triggers less so. So I tell people, if you ever watch an ASMR video on YouTube or something like that, or if you watch an EMI content, you know, if it doesn't work for you, if that first video doesn't work for you, look for a different video that features different triggers, because there's a theory out there that not everybody can experience ASMR. And I think it's the more accepted theory right now, is that some people experience it and some people don't. But my theory is that anyone can experience ASMR as long as you find the trigger that your brain reacts to and releases those chemicals to relax you and create that state of euphoria. I think that there's a trigger out there for everybody. So that's one thing that I write about a lot on the website, and that's one thing that we discussed in the book. And there's many triggers listed in the book, as well as resources given, so that if you want to study further on your own, we provide that as well in the book.
Very cool.
Exactly. And all you have to do is just go to ASMArtistWeekly.com.
That's right.
That's with what you're talking about, the pharmaceutical stuff. I mean, even from a firsthand experience with PTSD, anxiety, everything that I have, the VA immediately wanted to throw me on. The VA wanted to throw me on pills right away. Like, well, do you want medication?
Oh, yeah.
I said absolutely not, because I have seen what those pills, those medications do to my friends, what they have done to my friends. And I have actually lost a few friends due to ODing on these medications or resorting to committing suicide because they just couldn't handle the way they felt. And when they came off of them, it was even worse. So I'm a big advocate. I'm a huge advocate on taking pills. It's worse off for you. You got to find something. Like with me, I resort to music, and like with you saying, you know, a thunderstorm, that for me, and then the ambient, you know, creature noises outside is a big thing just to try and relax. But where I live, all I get is helicopters and explosions and gunfire on a nightly basis.
Oh, man.
Because I live. But that's actually
where do you
become
live?
I live about 4 miles away from the impact area for Camp Lejeune.
Okay.
But that actually,
and
like right now,
what,
I've got some helos flying overhead, and it's actually very relaxing to just to hear those helos fly over. But yeah, mm-hmm. that's, and with you saying, you know, people have experienced this and haven't realized it, some of the stuff you're saying, it's like, well, holy crap, I've experienced this. I've been doing this to an extent and not realizing it's just a calming factor for me.
Right.
I think this is really cool, and I'd really like to dive into this a little bit deeper.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would, too. I know that we don't have we've only got 30 minutes for this, right, guys? Am I correct?
Yeah, about 30 minutes. But, number one, we'll certainly have you on again. And, number two,
exactly.
One thing that I have been thinking about is I would like for ScaryCast to put on an ASMR in the Jacksonville area and promote it. And I mean, Jake, does that sound like a good idea to you?
Yeah, I can run some channels down here and get some people on board to get some guys out, you know, some vets, some active duty guys, and get them interested. And do like maybe a seminar or something to talk about it.
Yeah, we can do it. There are a number of places that I can get there in Jacksonville, and we could do it. And I think not only would it be a lot of fun, but it would be very beneficial, especially with the community there. Because all I got to say is ScaryCast and everything that I do, as long as we support our veterans that have allowed us to have our freedom, that's something that I want to do. And I know that Rex feels the same way. He wants to help promote anything that can happen to help our veterans. So what we'll do
exactly
is we will do some talking about this, and we'll announce something here very soon on the website and throughout the Jacksonville, North Carolina community, which we're a part of and we love very much, because if it wasn't for Jacksonville, we wouldn't have Camp Lejeune. We wouldn't have the great things that we have derived from that. So all I got to say is thanks so much for everything that has come out of the Jacksonville community, especially ScaryCast. This one started.
Yeah, that's right.
Jake, as you remember, this one started on Thanksgiving Day with a conversation in front of a refrigerator at one of your best friend's houses, and it has morphed into ScaryCast, which a lot of people like, and we've had wonderful guests like Tracy Bird and Timmy Payne, who's going to be coming on here in a minute. So I would like to say, first of all, Rex, thank you so much for being a guest here tonight. Jake, you want to ask him back again sometime soon?
Absolutely. Rex, it was good talking to you. I hope to meet you here in the near future as well.
Same here. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm hoping that after the book comes out and once I start putting out content, I hope that we can do this again and update people and just kind of keep it relevant, keep it out there, because there's so many people that could benefit from it. And I don't lie to people. I don't try to sell people any, like, magical cure for anxiety or anything like that. I still struggle with anxiety to this day. But if there's something out there natural that can help ease your symptoms, anyone that has panic attacks, anxiety, drug withdrawal, PTSD, people are looking for the benefits that you can get from ASMR. And I just want to help people, because if you've ever experienced anything like that, you know how absolutely terrible it is. And if you know of anything that can help people that are going through what you're going through, all you want to do is share that with them and see them not struggle with that, because it's horrible. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is just try and get it out there and try and help as many people that are going through what I've been going through for the past 5 or 6 years.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Rex. It's a pleasure to have you here. And before we move to our next guest, I just want to announce that the first week in January, we will have Ronald Rossman, master cosplayer. He's going to be here with us to talk about all things about Comic-Con. And then in January, we will have, I'm pleased to announce, Lady Bridget, who is one of the most phenomenal people. She hosts the show Ask a Witch on International Pagan Radio. So Lady Bridget will be here next month as we get our guests lined up. Can't wait to have her. Can't wait to have Ronald Rossman. It's going to be wonderful. But now back by popular demand and everything. Jake, I'm going to turn everything over to you because you're the man when it comes to horror punk and a gentleman named Timmy Payne. Timmy, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
What's up, brother?
Doing great. I'm going to turn you over to Jake and let him talk to you for a while, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right.
What's going on, man? How you been?
Man, it's been a long day, but yeah, I'm doing well. Getting excited for the Christmas day and all that good stuff with the kids and whatnot. And yeah, I heard your a little bit of your previous interviewee, I guess, your guest. So I didn't get much of it, but it sounds like it had something to do with PTSD and anxiety and stuff in the military. Which is not, that's nothing to joke about. That's a serious stuff.
Yeah, it's
seen a lot of it. I've been through a little of it.
Yeah,
but,
you definitely
it's not something that, I don't know. I'm not, I'm a serious guy when I have to be, and try not to be as much as I can. How's that?
The military
is definitely something that's, it's close to my heart, being ex-Navy and just knowing all the stuff I know. And I managed to, actually come across some Navy friends of mine who found me through the band a couple months ago. And it's funny because he was just seeing Michael Graves, and I managed to get a hold of Michael's friend Arturo, my friend Arturo, and we talked on the phone with my friend Steve down there. He's way out in Colorado, but he's been so excited, to see that I went on with music and did something, whether it be how big or whatever something it is, I did something. And it was nice getting in touch with him, but he put me in touch with a bunch of my old Navy buddies. So it's been that last couple of months has been really interesting to kind of get back to knowing, but it's also brought up a lot of stuff, but I wouldn't trade it for the world,
absolutely.
For the world. And he's been so supportive of the band. I mean, this guy's constantly buying shirts and CDs and handing them out to people in Colorado. And he's like, you got to come out here. So, so I got to push my band to get us to go out that way. Cause he's got all kinds of people out there into the band,
does that mean that there's going to be a Colorado date coming up in the next year or so?
I'm working on it. Next summer is going to be, hopefully it's going to be big for us with more touring. I definitely want to get, like I said, I was going to go down to Texas in that area, or we'll go, the opposite area and go up and go towards Colorado. And who knows, right now December is kind of get my mind off the band month, but even though I haven't been able to because of, we do a lot of mailing of merchandise. I'm swamped with merchandise going out. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time because you're trying to get it all out before Christmas and before everybody, and I keep getting people contacting me and buying stuff off the site. And, I got someone who does some of it, but I do some of it personally just because it's fans and I like to, personally get stuff out to people. And that's been really, really cool. But we just sent some stuff to England and Spain, and I think there's one in I think we just sent some stuff out to the Ukraine. So
wow,
that's kind of neat to know. It's kind of neat to know that somebody's wearing your stuff or listening to your music all the way across the world. That's pretty wild. That's surreal sometimes. I can't even wrap my brain around it sometimes because we do a lot of it. I mean, it's gone everywhere: Australia, South America, even Russia, and it's just whoa, what the, and a lot of bands are doing it now thanks to the internet, and it's still hard to wrap your head around, you made some kind of impression somebody has never even actually seen you.
Yeah, that's the same thing with Morty K. When we had that happen, I got a message from you said Australia, I think a one person from Australia. Isaac Banks, he runs the radio station down there, and he hit us up, and he's big into the, I guess you could say, underground music. It's not, because, you know, it's not radio played music. And even, you know, like we were talking last week about the horror punk community. Mm-hmm. You know, we both have friends in South America and England, and it's, I'm pretty sure it's probably the same people, but they, even, you know, they're thousands of miles away, they still support what we're doing over here and what you guys are doing. And that's spreading the word about it. And what that'll lead into is European dates, South American dates, you know, and it's just, it is just really freaking cool that, you know, like we were saying last week, the community is so small, but we all have each other's back on it. Like, it's just really, really, I guess, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's satisfying. Or, you know, maybe gratifying to an extent that, you know, we're all that tight knit with each other.
I believe there's a good amount of them that are, and then there's a few, like I said, there's a few bad apples out there that just can't get past themselves, but, you know,
that happens everywhere, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, you know, I'm not a police hater, and everybody's like, oh, you know, you should hate the police because you're a punk and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, dude, you know what, man? There's some shitty police, and then there's some police that have done good things. And there's shitty firefighters, and there's firefighters done good things. There's shitty librarians, and there's good librarians. It's like, you can't, you know, if you're gonna blame everything on one work situation, one job, whatever you want, that's to me, it's almost equal to blaming everything bad that's ever happened on, you know, because of one person, their whole race is bad. You know what I mean? Like, we're really going down that route when you just start blaming, oh, all cops are pigs. Oh, really? Because, you know, that one saved my grandmother's life. You know? So,
yeah,
I don't get it. But, you know, whatever, dude. I'm not going to go down that. That's a little complicated of a route. But, you know, but no, actually, back to the military thing, though, that was really, I didn't get a whole grasp of what he was, evidently has a book or something out, and, you know, good for him for doing that. And, I'm glad more people are paying attention to some of that stuff, you know.
Yes, one of the things he did hit on, too, was the you know, taking pharmaceuticals for your anxiety, your depression, PTSD treatment, stuff like that. And I had mentioned on how I've seen my friends go down a really bad road. Either they OD or they can't take it anymore and they off themselves, or they try and come off it and they can't handle it and they resort to alcohol or heavy drugs, and it's just not good. Like,
yeah, it's self-medicating. So
I'm guilty of it too. I mean, when I came back, I was drinking a 12 pack a night just to go to sleep at night. And I took Rex had mentioned Ambien to go to sleep. I took an Ambien one night and I woke up the next morning with a 45 in my hand because I had a bad dream and my roommate woke me up.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yep, not doing that again. The ASMR stuff, it's definitely something to look into. It'll definitely help. And not even just to go to sleep, even to get on stage.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I'm lucky enough that I was raised to be like, I mean, I was singing since I was 6 years old in front of people, you know, like big crowds. And I was trained to sing opera when I was younger, and then I was always, you know, always in front of people. So I don't really ever get that jitter of, oh my God, all these people. Like, even if it's, you know, we've been lucky enough to play in front of like 2,000-3,000 people during one of the chili cook-offs we played, and everybody's like, oh my God, it's so many people. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. They're just people, you know. Like, enjoy. We're here to make them happy. We're here to make them happy. That's all I can think.
You
know, when I'm on stage, the only thing I think is, we're here to, and you know, my band's like, man, you're all over the place. You're looking for this, that, and I said, because I look at every single person in the audience, and I pay attention to if they're having fun or not. And if they're not, I give more attention. And then once they get going, I'll get to the next one and give them attention. And it's, that's that's how you do it. And it, when you start doing that, you forget about even being on stage. And now you're just, you're focusing on them and not you. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's more about them, not you. And, yeah, that's a good thing. I it's back to PTSD and all that stuff. Like, honestly, like, I've had depression issues over certain things in my life. You know, bad things have happened and traumatizing times. But I've always managed to, and I tell people this all the time, like, go for really long walks. Get out in the nature and go for really long walks. Go get exercise. Go run. Go work out at the gym. Do something that's going to physically help you, because that will physically help your brain. It will
yeah,
release endorphins, and it will make you feel better. And the other thing is, it starts making you as a person physically feel better, you know, and
mm-hmm,
look better. And then that leads to, wow, confidence. And then it goes and goes and goes. But that always don't work for everybody, but it's definitely something that I know if I don't work out at least 2 or 3, 4 times a week, my sleep schedule's dicked up. I have a hard time going to sleep. I'm not as happy,
yeah,
as I usually am. You know, like, you could tell that it's been like, oh, well, you know, I haven't had a chance to work out all week, you know, and then boom, it hits me. So, but
yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, well, that's good that guy's putting that out there, and that's good. People need to be aware of what's going on, you know. But back to the music, because we went down that route. I don't want to be a continuation of the last guest. But
so you guys have a show coming up, if I'm not mistaken, right? The Halloween and Christmas, or Christmas for Halloween? I can't remember.
We got several things coming up. Let's see, January 13th will be 13 at Bar 13. The first,
yes,
you know, first Pain show of 2018, I guess.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a fun show. It's with Trigger 13. We've been doing a lot with Trigger 13. They're we didn't really call them a horror punk band. They're just a rock band, but they've definitely got some horror in their music. They're not a full fledged, you know, horror punk band, but they're really good. Like, they have two singers, back and forth singers, you know, guitar and a bass player switch. The drummer was actually in, used to be in a band called Corrupted Youth. And yeah, way back when So Damn Thirsty was around, was a band called Corrupted Youth, and he was in that, so he's known me for years. But yeah, we're playing with them. I'm sure you've heard of Terror Inc. They're playing the show.
Yep.
And there's another local, like, metal band in the Delaware area that's playing, and I hope they forgive me for missing the name, but I can't remember right now. And that'll be the first show back, and then we're off for the rest of January and most of February. That's when we're going to hopefully be recording this new album. We set time aside. We have everything going, so we're recording a new EP,
awesome,
which will be, it's 5 to 6 songs. I think we talked last time, I was telling you, we kind of got set back a little bit, losing the bass player and drummer at the beginning of last year. And then, honestly,
yes,
like, every time we went to record, we got all these great show offers. And I'm one of those people, I hate turning down shows. Like, I just can't stand doing it, because I don't know, I like playing, you know. So, like, we never really set aside enough time. And then, you know, one of our guitarists gets really busy after Thanksgiving because he works at a textile factory. So he's, like, making stuff for Christmas. So between Thanksgiving and January 1st, he works, like, 8 days a week, you know. So it's, you know, we can't really record then. And, you know, we're lucky if we sneak a show in now. And then, as a matter of fact, we had to play the Madball show. We had to play without him. And we were down to a 4-piece, which is fine, but it's just not as full.
Yeah.
But it was a good show. But yeah, and then we're back February 24th. We'll be back in Roanoke, Virginia, at the Front Row. That's become a really good stomping ground for us. Actually, there's a lot of good fans down there. A lot of good people. And we're gonna be with the Jasons there. And that's gonna be like a Halloween. We're doing like a Halloween costume contest thing. We're giving away a skateboard to the best costume. So,
cool.
Yeah, that'll be like one of the we call them Halloween and Winter. And then March 3rd, we're going to be at the in West Virginia, at the School of Rock. We're doing an all age show at the School of Rock from like 5 to 10. Yeah, I think most of the bands are already set on it now. Stupid Cow, Us, No Ransom. What was the other band? Trigger 13. They're on it.
Nice.
Again.
Very nice.
Like I said, once, you know, I like working with bands that I know and, like, you know, that appreciate everything that's going on. And Trigger 13's definitely been a very good support of us, and we support them, and there's a lot of friendship there, and it's just easy. I mean, I wouldn't doubt if you don't see us two going on tour next year together, if we can work it out, because they're just a solid bunch of guys, and their music's real good, and you know, you got to have they're great. They mix well with us because they're kind of like us, but not like us, if that makes any sense. I mean, they're definitely got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But they got their own shtick and their own thing, but it fits well because you don't get. If you had another band that was exactly like us and we went on tour, it would be like, wow, I just watched two of the same band. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'd want that. You know, like, but yeah, we got that going on. But that's gonna be cool because we did their grand opening, the School of Rock's grand opening, and my son actually went to the School of Rock here in Frederick. And so when they opened up the one in West Virginia, they were like, "Why don't you come out here and play this grand opening?" So we did. And it was cool. One of the guys from Clutch was out there. One of the guys from Kix was out there just hanging out. And that was kind of neat. I've known Ronnie from Kix. He was in a band. He had a side project called Blues Vulture, and they played with us before. So it was kind of neat. We play, like I said, we play with just about anybody, dude. I really don't care. If I think it's going to be fun, we'll play it. I don't really give a shit. I always make the joke if Garth Brooks wanted us to tour with him, I'd be there tomorrow. I don't care. I'm like, sure, Garth Brooks.
This is Dr. John. That would be great. And I did want to interject one thing, Tim, is whenever you guys are going to do a costume contest or anything like that, get up with me, because I run a number of Comic-Cons, and I'd be glad to go in and help support any kind of costume contest that you guys would have. Okay?
Right on. Right on.
You're probably going to be in our territory. Doesn't matter if you're in Roanoke. We've got people up there. We've got Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, the wrestler. I've got people all over, and we can help support what you're doing. So just I'll make sure end of the night I get your contact information, and as I said, if you ever have anything like that, we'd love to help you. Okay,
that's cool. I appreciate it. You know, actually, you're doing the Comic-Con thing. I could actually talk to you about this. Do you have you met my friend or talked to my friend Matt Burns? He does a lot of comic book Comic-Cons up here, like horror conventions and comic conventions.
When you're talking about up here, you're talking about what?
Up in Maryland area.
Up in Maryland? No, I really haven't. But it looks like as of today, we're going to be doing a horror con in Raleigh, North Carolina, and that'll be April the 28th. And so I'd love to talk with you about him and see if we can get him down here and get hey, Jake, would you like to get these guys down here?
I was just going to bring that up.
Okay.
I was just going to bring that up too.
We got the psychic thing going on here. But yeah, we'll talk about it, and maybe we can get Payne down here playing at some club or whatever on either Friday the 27th or Saturday night the 28th to as we do the Triangle Horror Con. And I'd love to talk with you about getting your buddy down here. I mean, it'd be a lot of fun. That's what we do. Someone
I don't know if he really doesn't do, like, he's pretty much does what you do. He like organizes the comic conventions and horror conventions up this way. He actually used to be Payne's manager years and years ago. But I don't know if like you guys knew each other or something, because I don't know, the horror convention world, who knows who,
here. It'll be great to meet him, and it'll be great to have you folks down here. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. There's no reason that you shouldn't be the band of the event, and we can get you get somewhere and we can certainly celebrate what you do. And Jake, I'm glad you're thinking the same thing. So we'll figure it out after the show and whatever, because we'll probably be making the official announcement, not this week, but next week.
Yeah,
let's get Christmas
cool.
over and everything. We'll make the official announcement of the Triangle Horror Con. We've got, of course, director Tom Gore is going to be with us. Lady Bridget from International Pagan Radio is going to be with us. And that's just two phone calls after we got the date set. So there's going to be a lot more people that are going to be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so assuming we can work it out with Payne will be there as well. All right. I'll get back into the shadows, Jake, and let you keep on. But I had to jump in with the costume stuff. And Tim, make sure that we stay in touch. And anytime we can help sponsor one of those where you are, we will do it. Okay.
All right. That sounds great, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Absolutely. Back in the shadows now for Dr. John.
that sounds great, Jake. We'll talk about it after we get off the – well, I'll talk to you tomorrow probably about it because I'm going to get off the phone and go to bed. But,
for sure.
That sounds fun. Like, definitely. And I have to get – you know, obviously I'd have to ask my guys and make sure everybody's off and we can do that kind of thing. But it would have to be on a Saturday because you guys are pretty far down there.
we would
have to
– we'll
have
see
to drive down.
If we're going to do an ASMR – seminar, and Rex and I were actually talking, if we're going to do that the second week in February in Jacksonville, we'll make sure that we can schedule you perfectly. Deal?
Yeah, sounds great, man. Appreciate it.
All right, good. Yeah.
Sounds great. All right.
Hey, we'll see what we can do with the HorrorCon stuff, because I know John and I were talking about setting one up and doing an after-party type thing where the bands come in, you know, promote themselves, sell merch, they have the table and all that stuff, and then hit up a venue.
Mm-hmm.
Hit up a venue. So I've got a random dog attacking me here. set up a venue for an after party.
Dog don't like that
idea. Yeah, no, I don't think so. And then do, like I said, do an after party and have a full-fledged, you know, show and get some, you know, you guys obviously be, you know, the headliners, and then get some more local bands to come in. And I know a couple bands up that way, or even some bands down my way that would travel up that far to play the gig. And it'd be really cool. Maybe by that time I'll have something going on.
I tell you, we've, all right. So that guy, Matt Burns, and I, like, we originally, how he got started, I don't know if he got started that way or whatever, but how he started to do these horror conventions was, I had this idea, and it was kind of the beginning of what PaineFest is now. Matt and I both had this idea. We were like, well, you know what, let's do a horror convention, and let's have bands there. And my theory was, you know, we're going to have a horror convention, and we're going to have a band in the same place. Like, you know, while the bands are playing, people can walk around and look at the horror stuff too. And then, you know, the bands will be off stage for a half hour and somebody can come up and do like a seminar for the horror thing. And then another band will pop on. And it was kind of mixing the two together. But the problem I had with it was we ended up doing it kind of as you guys were saying. We had the horror stuff during the day and then they all kind of cleaned out and then the bands came. And I'll be honest with you, it didn't work out too well. A lot of the people that were there to see the attractions didn't stick around for the bands. And a lot of people that were there to see the bands never came early for the attractions. So it was kind of a thing where the only way I think that thing could actually work was if we did, you know, you stagger it. You know, you do it throughout the day, the bands and the thing, they're all in one group. And that the theory behind it when I first came up with it, and it was called Halloween Fest, and the theory about it when I first came up with it is that a lot of people come to horror convention shows and don't even know what the hell horror punk is. And they don't realize there's a whole genre of music that's right up their alley. Like, I've talked to plenty of people that are like, love horror, don't even know what horror punk is. And I'm like, how do you not know what that is if you're watching horror movies? You know? And so that was kind of our our theory on doing it. And like I said, it never worked out that way. And that particular show, it was a good show for the bands. It was a good show for the harp, but nobody, there was no interaction. There was no, nobody learned anything. Nobody that liked horror actually stuck around to see horror bands. They didn't give a shit. They went home, but they didn't get, you know, I almost kind of wanted to not force it, but like introduce them to it. And,
yeah.
It didn't work out as well as I thought. So I don't know. After parties, we played an after party in New Jersey when they had their horror convention. It was massive horror convention up there, and there was about 30 people there. And it was
one thing, it was a long
way to go for nothing. And I was kind of like, well, this is, you know, and it, but there was a problem. They didn't really promote the show at the horror convention. You know, it was supposed to be the horror convention after show, and it never even got promoted at the horror convention. You know, like got promoted at the bar we played, but not at the horror convention.
One thing I look at, and it's, I mean, I guess you could say it's probably the biggest horror con in the country is Hellhound Weekend.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's three different dates through what, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and I believe Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, I know there's three different dates through two or three different states. And they kind of do that, you know, because Ghouls will go out there, and because he's out there every year, and I believe there's been some other friends of ours that have played Hellhound as well, and they play during the convention. And
yeah, that was kind of what I was trying to get at when we did our thing, but you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And, I'm sorry, I digress. Go ahead.
But no, I feel that would be, you know, the after party might work, but
I don't think it will. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't think it will. First of all, people that, that have been walking around at a horror convention all day, at least they want to go home. You know, they've been walking all day. You know, like that's why I had a problem with it. Like in the one in New Jersey, when we went to that horror convention, there was one of the guys from the Lost Boys. I forget his name. He's got his own band doing some freaky thing now. He was like doing Michael Jackson impersonations, and he did a whole concert, but he did it during the horror convention. So like people took, you know, an hour out of their horror convention and went over and saw him. It was in the same building, and then they came back to the horror convention, you know, and it was just like, it was a good mixing. I think if you do a horror convention during the day and then, you know, 10 o'clock at night, you're saying, all right, everybody go over here and let's party. Hey, you'll get a few people, but a lot of people are like, man, I've just been walking around all day. No, I'll pass. You know what I mean? It was
yeah.
We did a horror convention with Matt Burns put on another horror convention, and he had Michael Graves play. He had us play. He had Darrow Chemical Company play. I believe that's where we first met. What was the band? Not Ghost Road. I met them up in West Virginia. Western Maryland. Oh shoot, what was it? I don't know. It was one of the bands we met. But anyway, that was good because he had it in the same building, and it was, I mean, literally right when the rest of the horror convention was still going on. You know what I mean? Like they didn't pack up all their shit and leave, and then all the bands came in. So I think that it's just got to be done right, and you know, like you said, that horror hound. What did you call it? Hellhound Weekend thing. It sounds like they were doing it right. So take a note from that, you know, and like maybe that's how it needs to be done. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I promote a lot of our own shows. I put on a lot of shows, you know, like Pain Fest or whatever, or these Halloween and Winter and that kind of stuff. And as I've been learning, there's certain things I've learned, certain things I'm still learning. So, and I don't even want to do it, to be honest with you. I feel like if I don't do it, nobody will, you know, like there's a lot of promoters out there that just, you know, we had talked about this last time. All they want to do is get a band to sell tickets, and they don't care what kind of band it is. It could be a crappy band. They don't care as long as you sell tickets. Well, I never wanted to get into a promoting business, but I definitely like setting up a good show. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, if it does well, I'd be like, wow, cool, I did that. Not only did I get to play it, but I actually set that sucker up too. And somebody got to see, you know, more decay in the mourners than they wouldn't have seen up here in Maryland. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was, I mean, like I said last week, we weren't, you know, we didn't have the greatest energy, but
I believe people liked you. I remember people liking you. No, I mean, but I do believe people liked you. You know, like it was, I think one of my complaints was you didn't have any merchandise.
Yeah. We didn't have anything.
You gave me a pick.
At that point.
You gave me a pick. I was like, I can't even buy a shirt from you, dude.
All right. Listen, this is Dr. John. Dr. John is going to take care of that when Morty K and the Mourners is back. Is that all right, Jake? I'm going to make sure you got your merch, okay?
Well, I'll have to talk to the guys and get them all back from multiple states. And
yeah, you guys, I thought we had our drive. You guys, it's like our drummer has a drive an hour.
Make sure you got your merch. Listen, I'm now starting to run Papa Stroh's merch tables now at his events, and he's selling lots of T-shirts. So we're going to make sure that Morty K in the Mourners has got T-shirts, and I'll be there at your table. Is that okay?
Yeah, it looks like I got to make some phone calls, because if I give the guys enough heads up, we might be able to do something in April for this.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We'll open it.
I was thinking maybe if we can get Payne down there, we better have Morty K in the Mourners, and then that's a big Friday night show, and Saturday will be of course the Horror Con, and then Saturday night will be the best bar in Raleigh is the Ramada Inn, so we'll all hang out there, and it'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, I had to jump in.
The only way you're going to get us down that far, if we're down toward, probably we'd have to play a Saturday, because we just couldn't, you know, we all have to take off work Friday and stuff. Like, we don't go too far if we're not on tour. Like, if we go to New York, we usually make sure it's a Saturday.
We'll have the Ramada Inn on Friday night. Then we'll have you play on Saturday. That's great. Thanks for letting me know. All right, back in the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't. Yeah, that's the thing.
This is why we're talking. You know, that's what's important. We talking.
Yeah,
all
well,
that
that's the thing. It's not easy trying to, you know, you work a job, you get a family, and you're still trying to get out and tour and do stuff, and you know, you want to go to all these places and do all these things, but you got responsibilities, you know.
Responsibilities. I know all about those. They seem to show up just when you don't want them to. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's right. True. I'm lucky enough that, you know, all our guys are managed. We get time off. We can get time off to go do things, but yeah, you know, we got to be picky about when we're going to go and save our vacation time.
So you can get time off for bad behavior. Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Perfect. Time off for bad behavior. That's perfect. Okay.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
sometimes Dr. John can come up with something, you know. But yeah.
I like that Dr. John's talking in third person. I think I'm going to be like, someone to start doing that. Timmy Payne says, well, you know. And
on Comic-Con Stars, I'm in first person on Comic-Con Stars on Thursday night, but tonight with when Jake's running your interview, I can be in third person. That's a lot of fun.
That's fine. So. Timmy Payne don't mind it. Timmy Payne really doesn't care. Payne's just wondering what the hell these people are talking about.
That's right. Well, he just flopped into third person. That's great. Okay. All right. Well, Dr. John, he will retire back into the shadows until he feels necessary to speak again.
Well, actually, Tim, you and I talked earlier. You said you had a long day and an early day tomorrow. If you need to jump off,
I can hang out a little bit longer. Why not?
All right.
But,
all right.
You know, you sleep enough when you're dead. That's what I was.
Yeah,
Timmy Payne always says that you sleep enough when you're dead. Timmy Payne says
that's
that.
Been my philosophy.
Yeah. Little known fact about Timmy Payne, he actually did stand-up comedy when he was in the Navy for a little while. So So
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, Timmy Payne likes doing stand up. Pretty funny. Yeah. So anyway, how's your Christmas shopping going? Are you good?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that's
it's,
not a joke. That's an actual question.
It's going.
I wasn't doing the shtick yet. You know, I'm just trying to get you to answer a fucking question. It'd be nice.
It's going, man.
Is it going? That's good. Yeah, I got a tree full of stuff.
As I said, what about, because last time we talked, you guys were headed out to a store
shopping.
to do some shopping. And
yeah.
I know you have.
Yeah,
more
I still go old
traffic.
School. I like to actually go to stores, you know, and instead of just being on the internet. I mean, sometimes I order some stuff, yeah, but most of the time I actually like to physically go to the store. I think it's to look at all the idiots, but you know, still fun to buy things too, I guess.
And
but
I bring something over here.
I told my wife, I was like, you know, Christmas, I got a surprise for you, and she says, well, what is it? Why the hell do people do that? Like, what is that?
Yeah, right.
Like, the first thing they say is, what is it? Didn't they fucking just say it was a surprise? Like, well, what is it? Like, it's like, you know, the only thing I think is even dumber than that is when people look at you and you're like, man, my fucking life's going to crazy. It's going to hell. And they're like, well, you know, it'll work out one way or the other. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's, yeah, no way. Really? Oh, well, fuck, that fixes everything. So it's going to work out good or bad? Well, fuck, I thought there was a third option. Where it would just work out that. But,
yeah, right.
You know, I don't know. The things people say, I don't ever get them. You know, it's like the whole sorry thing. Oh, yeah, I heard your dad died. I'm so sorry. Why, did you kill him? You know, I don't get that one either. Like, why are you saying you're sorry? I'm like, I don't get it. But that's life.
Or the one where they say, don't look now, but, and of course you're going to look.
That's
like,
almost as bad as,
hey,
this milk
you know?
Sucks. Here, you try it. You know?
Like, yeah, right.
This is really awful. Here, you try it. Just tell me if you think it's awful. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure taste buds are pretty universal. If yours thinks it's horribly sickening milk, I'm pretty sure mine are going to go, yep, yeah, that sucks. Here, let's both go vomit.
Yeah. Well, on the music side, speaking of going to stores and shopping and going online and shopping, I'm kind of curious because I've been wanting to ask a lot of people about this because the reason it came into my mind is I just got a gift card for the place for my birthday. Guitar Center is closing down.
Oh, yeah. No shit, really.
I didn't know if you've heard about that or...
No, I have not heard the Guitar Center was closing down. I don't know where I'll get my overpriced guitar stuff from now on.
Yeah, right? And the non-musical people or the non-musical employees that don't know what they're talking about and bad customer service and really.
You know, I got a microphone that I can order off of Amazon. Ooh, I know I shouldn't have said that, but I really don't need any other instruments right now. So I don't know. I guess it's bad for people, but it'd be great for smaller businesses that do this.
Exactly.
Like we have one here in town that's making music that, you know, I know Guitar Center's always like, oh, well, you got it for $500? We'll sell it to you for $2. And then, you know, you put these little other companies out of business. But, you know, what I do for a living is I talked about this before. Other than the band, I do home theater, home automation, and home lighting control and everything, smart home stuff. And, you know, now all I see is this Alexa crap everywhere where you talk to it and it does things. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, my God, it's going to put us smart home guys out of business. No, it didn't, because nobody knows what the fuck to do with the damn thing. It just sits in the corner and listens to your conversations and then sends you stuff on your email. And people need to understand is that thing does listen to you, and it does.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We've tested it. Even when it's supposedly off, it's listening. And it's all just gathering information to sell you shit. Like, if you talk about trains a bunch around it, you'll get emails that are like, hey, you know, this train toy is this much, you know, it's really weird. So people should be careful of that. I'm not just putting on the silver tinfoil hat. I'm telling you, that's what this stuff's going to be about. But yeah, anyway, what the hell were we talking about? I feel like John Mayer.
I don't know, but I wanted to ask.
This whole conversation
really
is going nowhere.
No, this conversation is going everywhere. Did you really say that Guitar Center is closing?
from what I've been seeing.
I didn't say a damn thing about Guitar Center. I think it should close. I don't know. You know, maybe it shouldn't close. It's like musicians out there going, oh, my God, Guitar Center's closing. It's like, you know, oh, my God, net neutrality. Yeah, it was fine 2 years ago. It's not going to be any different now. Why are you talking over me? I don't, I'm hanging up. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm sorry. So you did not say that Guitar Center was closing.
I did not say it was closing. I did not say it was closing. I did not say it was closing.
But Jake did say it was closing.
Timmy Payne did not say it was closing. And, I don't know if anybody else said it. Maybe I was thinking somebody was saying something about closing. Did you know it was closing? I didn't. I had no clue. I don't think it is. I think it's fully open. That and Kmart's making a return. I heard Kmart's going to be really big again.
Yeah.
Put Walmart right out of business. That's what I heard. Timmy Payne says that Kmart's coming back Guitar Center is not closing.
We're in trouble now.
Guitar Center is not closing. I did not say that.
Okay.
I don't know who says that.
Who would spread such a rumor?
That is a horrible rumor. That's fake news. That's what that is. Fake news right out of Jake. Yeah,
maybe I need to fact check a little bit.
Don't be pulling a Washington Post and having some fake news and all the other crap that's out there. I'm telling you, Guitar Center, I did not say it's closing. I did not have sex with that Guitar Center. I did not have sex with that Guitar Center. I did not. It was looking at me funny, but I swear I did not even touch it. I did not strum its strings. But no, I didn't.
Oh, jeez.
But their boy is not right. Oh, Bobby, get away from the Guitar Center. They're going out of business. We sell propane and propane accessories here. Oh, they're not going out of business.
Oh, my God.
My poor wife's sick. She's in bed right now. She's probably going, what the hell is that idiot talking about downstairs? I don't know how she puts up with me. She's not feeling well.
She's got a bug.
Yeah, I guess. If she didn't put up with me, I'd probably be on the phone longer with you guys, and then you'd have to put up with me. All right.
Well, Dr. John.
No complaint
now,
here.
Dr. John steps back into the shadows now. And
Timmy Payne likes when Dr. John steps out of the shadows. I was waiting for Dr. John to come out of the closet, and we're all set. That's okay. You can do that nowadays. It's a good thing nowadays. It's good. You should be able to do that. You should feel free to be able to do that. Come out of the dark closet or whatever the hell you're coming from.
Well, I mean, you know, when you talk about coming out of the closet, you are talking about the Scientology episode of South Park, which may be the most revolutionary thing that ever happened on television, you know, because when they were asking John Travolta and Nelly to both come out of the closet, and they go in there and say, hey, it's kind of nice here in the closet. I kind of like it.
I don't know. I don't even understand that whole statement of coming out of the closet. Like, I don't know. When I was a kid, you played with the bottle in the closet with some girl, and you end up kissing her. And now you come out and you're gay. That's cool. But I don't know where that came from. If anybody can tell me that, please do. Like, you know, I don't even know. One of my sons is, you know, well, actually two of them, my adopted, and my other one is transgender. And, you know, one of them says, you know, he's gay. And I was like, well, what is this coming out of the closet? Even he didn't know. He was like, I don't know. It means coming out. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, but they use that for everything too. You can come out of the closet for voting for somebody. You could be like a closeted Hillary voter or something. You know, like you can come out, tell everybody you did it. Like,
Timmy Payne, you are such an intellectual. This is great.
Ah, man, don't go putting that, don't go pinning that on me. People might think I'm smart. Oh, my God.
You're actually very smart. I'm
coming out of the closet. I'm actually really smart. I've been really smart for a while. I always figured it better be a smart ass than a dumbass. But, you know, that's
exactly.
Just me. So I figured that would be the right way to go. But then you don't want to be is it better to be an asshole than a whole ass? I mean, by theory, one is bigger than the other.
Yeah,
Yeah. Does that make any
right.
sense? I mean, I don't know. I also have a very good structure of how to judge the amount of things. It starts off with a crap load, a shit load, a fuck ton, motherfuck load. I've got and they have numerals assigned to them. If you know 1 through 10 is a crap load, that's a crap load. Oh, that's got a crap load. And it could be any 1 through 10. It could be like 8 or 7. Both are still a crap load as long as it's 1 through 10. Just saying. Something for you guys to think about next time you say crap
yeah.
load or shit load. There's an actual number. Make sure you're getting it right. You don't want to say a shit load when it's only 8. Got to make sure it's a shit load. It's like 15. 10 to 20 is your shit load. I guess it would be 11 to 20. Yeah, 11 to 20 is a shit load. Crap load's 1 to 10.
So
fuck
with that
load,
being said, what would a metric fuck ton be?
Metric fuck ton, well, I mean, that's you're up there, man. That's probably, I would say a metric. Well, metric's me. I don't know, now you're getting all foreign on me because you bring out metric. Can you say something like American?
Yeah.
Like, you know, give me some American measurements. You know, like
I don't even know how to
convert
that.
About, like, the entire weight of the UK or something.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of load. That's UK.
Yeah,
speaking
especially
UK.
With Prince Harry and Prince whatever his name is, Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is there too. Prince and Jesus. Oh, that'd be a combination. Oh, you see Prince and
Prince
Jesus.
Prince and
same
Jesus.
Room.
Oh, Lord.
That'd be interesting. Prince was pretty religious, but I didn't know Prince and Jesus in the same room. That'd be some pretty interesting music. I don't know
if they're
Prince
doing a show. I'm going to the
Tony Down.
I'm going to
I'm
the
going,
Prince
dude.
Stage.
Really?
I'm going to say the Prince
yeah, I'd like,
stage.
I don't know, dude. I'd like to see what Jesus could kick out. Like, I mean, do walk on water. He could probably kick out some tunes. Like
did you ever
that.
See the interview or
probably.
The interview?
Yeah, I did. I saw everything. I'm sorry.
When,
go ahead.
You've seen everything.
Clapton.
I've been around since 1913. You know that, right? My birthday was 1913. Okay, so I've been around for a while. So what interview did you need me to see?
It was an interview with Clapton. And the interviewer asked me, he said, Eric Clapton. Said, the guy asked him, how does it feel
does
to be
know
the greatest
the
guitar center guitarist
closed?
In the world?
Did he know
guitar
center's closing?
He met.
They sell his guitars there.
They probably do for, you know,
$2,000
higher than what they should be.
Exactly, and that's why they're closing down. But I didn't say that. You're the one that said that, right? All right.
Said that.
So you were saying, Eric,
on the record.
Eric Clap. So Eric, this guy Eric had the clap. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah,
that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
He was asked, how does it feel
asked?
To be the greatest guitarist? He was asked. Wait, hold on. Axed. How
he was asked.
How
that's right.
How
yeah,
it felt to be
the
greatest
ahead.
Guitarist in the world, and his response was, "I don't know. Go ask Prince."
Well, yeah, Prince is pretty freaking rad, dude. Like that guy was very undersold or underestimated or underappreciated, or yeah, he's a pretty cool dude though.
Self-taught on what 15? I think it's like 15 different instruments. He was self-taught on. Like, the dude was unbelievable with what he could
He wrote all his own shit, too. I mean, it's insane. Like, I sit down and I work with some of the riffs for pain, but not very good. And I'll take it to my guys and be like, dude, check this out. And they'll be like, that's really cool. Here, let me make it sound better. And they do. But I couldn't imagine. Like, I just... That's always been my dream is to sit down and like do an entire album and do all the instruments on the album. I always thought that'd be cool, but I actually, I don't know who the hell it was. It was some musician was talking about that. And he was like, I think it might've been Dave Grohl. Maybe don't quote me on it, but, Dave
maybe
Grohl
Todd
or whoever
Rundgren.
It was. Maybe.
Todd Rundgren did everything on something, anything.
Well, and that's the thing. The person was saying, I think it might have been Dave Grohl, because he didn't want to do it. Because even though he could play the guitar, bass, drums, vocals, and all that stuff, he said if he did it, and I truly believe this, if he did it all himself, it wouldn't be as good as if he did it with a bunch of his bandmates, because you get so many different influences and so many different combinations. You know, it's like having one chef make the same dish for, you know, the whole dinner. or you could have four great chefs make each individual dish for each entree.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And you get to, it's like, wow, you know, the one chef would have made a great salad, but this chef made a different salad than this chef would have made, and you got a whole different experience. And I think it's, you know, when bands do that, I can always tell a band that it's, all right, well, they're just a band behind the guy who did everything, because it's just everything sounds the same always. Like, it's, especially one album will have that same theme. You know, maybe the next album will be different, but the one album you could tell, you know, he really liked playing in D. You know, he really liked those chords. You know, and then it's like, oh, he's going to keep using those chords because he gets stuck in your head. And
I mean, that's how even with, you know, Morty K was too. You know, Morty would come up with a riff and he'd bring it to me, especially when we were a four piece. He'd bring a riff to me. Hey, man, I wrote this. Clean it up for me. You know, these are the lyrics that I got. And we'd sit down for hours and I would play the riff and I'd go, okay, you know, I'd bring my influences into it. He'd bring his into it. And then we'd take it to rehearsal and go, okay, this is what we got. What's everybody else have? And then the next thing you know, everybody put their own little touches to it. And you've heard all of our songs before.
Yeah.
You can really tell who wrote what, because certain songs sound the same lyrically or musically. Other songs are diverse to an extent. It still stays within the realm of horror punk, but you can definitely tell who has what influences when it comes down to who wrote what. And like, I know with a lot of my stuff, it's a lot of SoCal punk. It really is. Mm-hmm. You know, that 3-4 chord SoCal punk.
Yeah,
other guys
all
have that. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Look at Social Distortion.
Yeah, it all works. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great bands like that.
Anything Mike Rever wrote was 3-4 chords, and they're international hits. Everybody knows who Social Distortion is, you know? And that's, you can hear some 80s hair in some of our stuff. You can hear some 90s punk. You can hear some new radio emo screamo stuff in some of our music.
Yeah.
And because that's what one of the guys kind of leaned towards, because that was what he was influenced by when he was growing up.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing.
It's
all
really
those great
cool to see.
Mixed.
Yeah. And Morty's got his solo project right now. It's called 7-Ton Scum. And he's getting his recording stuff down, and it sounds really it's heavy. It's a lot of screaming, but it's really good. And even our original drummer, Carlos, which you never met him, he's got his own solo project that he's doing all the instruments to out of Florida, called In a Coma. And he's done some really, really cool stuff. And those two are, you know, it's all internet-based, but they've got some really good stuff out there. And you can really see what – and, I mean, hell, even Carlos, he was
– sorry, my cat's –
he was
going
in a band.
Calm down. All four of them are going crazy down here. I think because Dad's up, it's late. Oh, I can run around. Sorry. I am Catman. Love my cat.
Carlos has his former horror punk band was Insides Out.
Yeah.
And they had a huge following back in the early mid 2000s. And they were great, and I still can't get over it. He was the drummer and the lead vocalist. The dude.
Yeah, that was a lot. That's pretty hard. That's pretty hard to do. Like, actually, So Damn Thirsty, my second band, but my first horror punk band, we couldn't find a drummer, and I had to. You know, we were practicing with me playing drums and singing at the same time, and I quickly realized we're not doing this live. I was like, this is horror.
Tough.
Like, I mean, I can keep the you know, typical punk beat and sing, but it's hard to not sing to the beat. You know, like it's really one of those things like pat your stomach and rub your head, you know, whatever the hell it is. It's really hard. That's one thing. Cowboy Mouth has their drummer as a singer, and that's just, I don't know, that stuff's crazy. But anyway, bro, I hate to cut you short, and you know, I love talking to you guys, but it is getting late, and I'm sure my wife is probably upstairs wondering where I'm at. So
yeah, I just realized it's 11 o'clock, and
yeah,
we kept you. But hey,
that's all right,
really
buddy.
Appreciate you. Really appreciate you coming back on. I really hope we can make April work.
Yeah, definitely.
Something we can, you know, the three of us can converse on at a later date, but it can be something really, really cool. And I'll talk to my boys and see if I can't get them together and make something happen.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. Another reunion. Seems like pain keeps bringing you guys back together.
Yeah, like, you know, we gotta
pain unite.
Gotta do something. Timmy Payne, you know, go ahead and talk in the third person. You know.
Yep.
And Tim Payne,
Timmy Payne approves this message.
To say thank you so much. It has been a great, great interview with you. It really has.
No problem.
It's been a lot of fun.
I like to say one thing before I get off here. God bless you all and Merry Christmas. And I hope
you
hope
too,
you guys
brother.
Have a scary new year. Have a scary new year and all that goodness. But
you too,
but anyway,
brother.
Yeah, truly.
New year and hope the Guitar Center doesn't go broke.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to find out about this Guitar Center. Somebody told me it was closing. I don't know. I heard something about a Guitar Center closing. But, I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think Jake said that.
Yeah, that guy. Man.
That's all right.
Telling
he's
you,
a
man,
dick.
This guy. He is. He really is. I don't know. Worse than that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Timmy Payne's pretty bad, too. But anyway.
Timmy Payne's
awesome.
Seriously,
though.
We will be back at you sooner than later. Is that okay?
That is fine. That is fine. And have a Merry Christmas. God bless you all. And God bless America and all the soldiers and everybody out there doing the things that they are doing to keep us so we can do the things we do in a free world. So
thank you,
that,
brother. Thank you for that.
Payne signing off. Don't forget to go to www.paintheband.com and see some stuff and order some stuff and have a good
buy,
everything. But y'all take care.
Buy some merch. Go see some shows by these guys. They fucking kick ass.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. And Jake, thanks again for another evening of Scary Cat. It was pretty scary tonight, wasn't it?
It was.
It was, and I'm glad to announce April the 28th will be the Triangle Horror Fest sponsored by Scary Cast. It's been a lot of fun. And so guess what? We'll see you next week. We've got Matthew Delf, who has a true and real the Bigfoot sighting in Indiana. He's a super guy. He's one of my very best friends, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about Bigfoot. Are you ready for next week? Jake?
Absolutely.
All right. Then we got Ron Ross, and then we got Lady Bridget. We got lots of great people coming on Scary Cast, the scariest place on the internet. All right. Well, I'm gonna sign off now, and I'm gonna tell the lady from Blog Talk Radio that we're done, and we'll see everybody next week.
Sounds good.
Cheers.
Cheers.